Welcome to worship here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Rochester, Minnesota. It's the eve of Pentecost 2, and it's good to have in-person worship, and we're doing social distancing, and we're being careful as well. For those of you who are joining us virtually through the internet or through Facebook, we welcome you to our worship service. We thank you for your presence, your prayers in our lives and in the life of the church. A couple of announcements I want to highlight for you. It's been a busy week with birthdays. Yesterday, Don Wanek and Larry Vomhoff, both of whom are here tonight, they were celebrating birthdays. And I know tomorrow that Don's wife, Jean, is going to celebrate her birthday. And also, there's going to be Pastor Vodlemar Gies and his wife, Kathy, are celebrating a wedding anniversary along with his wife, Kathy's birthday tomorrow. So lots of birthday celebrations. And we thank God for the gift of life and the celebration of birthdays. Anniversaries as well. And then a couple of other announcements. First of all, leaving tomorrow will be Larry Vomhoff and some members of the CMAC mission group. They're going to be going up to Gladwin, Michigan, that suffered devastation from floods. So please keep this mission work trip in your prayers and safe travels for Larry and his companions as well. And then finally, next week, following our worship service, we're going to have a brief Emmanuel huddle. It won't be lots of conversation or things like that, but we will put up on the screen some things that have been happening in the life of our congregation. It'll be about 10, 15, 20 minutes at the most, and we'll be able to show you the video of the church land. We'll be able to talk about some plans for the summer and also what God is doing in the life of his beloved Emmanuel Lutheran Church. So that'll be a brief Emmanuel huddle at 7 p.m. following worship next Saturday evening. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted. I would invite you to rise as you are able. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, compared with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise or say you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
We continue with our greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your hearts. Teach them to your children.
Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Our scripture song throughout this summer, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil, we'll sing it through twice.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the sacrament of baptism, you have drawn us to yourself. Anoint us as your own, calling us to be your pilgrim people. As Jesus sent the disciples, so may your Spirit send us to share the extravagant blessings of your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 19, beginning with verse 2. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped by the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 100, and we will read it responsively. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving,
and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His steadfast love endures forever,
and his faithfulness to all generations.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God chose his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, for to whom shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Earlier, I recorded the children's message on our Emmanuel Facebook page, and so I invite and encourage parents and grandparents, if you have children or grandchildren, to visit that and to spend some time with them as you teach them the faith of what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be sent, and most importantly, what it means to raise the roof for Jesus and to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. When I was younger, I learned these words to a song. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give.
Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. The opening part of that song contains these words: God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. You see, we're disciples. And according to our gospel reading for tonight, the disciples are those who sit at the feet of Jesus, are caked in his dust. We learn from the teacher so that we can put his teachings, his love, his kingdom into action, into practice. This is what we're called to do and be, disciples of Jesus, going out to all places, to all people, bringing the reconciling love of God everywhere we go. This is who we are. Learners who are sent out by the sent out one Jesus. This is who we are. We are disciples who are apostles, the sent out ones. Jesus says, look around. The fields are white for harvest, but there's an urgency and there's a problem because the fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. So what's the response? What's the answer? You need to send more laborers out. So Jesus says the first thing to do is to pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers out into his field. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God doesn't want anyone who's sick not to be healed. God doesn't want anyone who is unsaved not to be saved. God doesn't want any of the crop, any of the fruit of his kingdom to spoil or to rot. So Jesus says to his disciples, pray earnestly. And what happens when they pray? Well, the ones who are praying are in fact the answer to their prayer. The ones who pray earnestly are the ones that Jesus commissions and sends out. He doesn't ask for volunteers. He simply sends, conscripts, and commissions. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, Jesus says, and because you believe, others will know that I live. The free gift, Paul talks about it in our epistle reading for tonight, that God has justified us, that God has reconciled us, that God has saved us through Jesus Christ. In other words, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Or in the words of St. Paul to the church at Ephesus, we are saved by grace through faith, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, God gave it to us for free. That's what grace is, no strings attached. So that if we're going to go out in Jesus' name, and if we've received it freely, then Jesus says we need to give it freely without charging anyone anything. In fact, it would be the ultimate of a crime to receive something for free from God Almighty and then to not go out or to go out and suddenly charge people what God intends to be a gift of grace in the name of his son, Jesus. Just do it. You've probably have heard that before. Just do it. You know that Nike cursive swoosh? Well, I did some research this past week, and I found out that it originated actually by swooshing two stories together. And the first story comes from 1977, January, when Gary Gilmore was sentenced to be executed by gunfire in the state of Utah. He was wearing a white shirt, and they said as they placed a bag over his head, do you have any last words? He says, let's do this. And then 10 years later, when Nike was finding competition from Reebok, suddenly then there were a couple of executives who were up in the Oregon area. They remembered the story of Gary Gilmore and his last words. And then at that time, there was, as you may recall, Nancy Reagan, just say no. the campaign against drugs. So they combined these two things and they came up with a swoosh, this cursive check mark, and the slogan that has popularized Nike, just do it. But you and I both know that Nike didn't originate the phrase, that it came thousands of years earlier in the Holy Scriptures, that Jesus is the one who said, I'm training you for mission and ministry so that then you can be sent out to do the work of the kingdom. Because the fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. As Jesus traveled throughout all the villages and all of the cities, St. Matthew tells us that he had compassion. In other words, his stomach was twisted up in knots because all the people that he saw were like sheep without a shepherd. And when you're a good shepherd, Jesus, who lays down his life for the sheep, and you see sheep that are helpless and harassed without a shepherd, your stomach gets up in knots. It says that Jesus healed every disease, and Jesus healed every sickness as he went about and he preached the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, that God's reign has happened, that it's here right now. And then he saw that there was helpless and harassed people, and he knew that he needed to expand the mission. And so that's where he doubled down, if you will, and he took his disciples and he paired them up and he sent him out into the mission field. That's what our Lord does. He sends his disciples out into the mission field so that no one or nothing may be lost. Just do it. I'm reminded of a story of a man named Carl. He's a sales executive. He likes to support kids and their activities, and so often in his neighborhood, there would be a little Kool-Aid stand that some of the neighborhood kids would set up. You know, a makeshift sign on cardboard, something like Kool-Aid, 25 cents. Well, he decided to pull over and he said, okay, 25 cents, what's the flavor? And they said, well, we've got two flavors. We've got strawberry, we've got grape. And Carl said, I'll have a glass of grape Kool-Aid. And so he pulled out a dollar bill, gave it to the young boy. The young boy then handed him the cup with grape Kool-Aid, and then he went over to this kind of, a cigar box, I suppose you'd call it. It had a bunch of loose change in it, dimes, nickels, pennies. And then he came back over to the car, and there was Carl drinking out of that cup, that purple grape Kool-Aid. And he said, here's your change. And are you just about finished? The little boy asked. And Carl says, well, yeah, but why are you wondering? He says, well, you know, that's the only cup we have, and we want to stay in business. You see, I think the problem a lot of times in churches, my friends, is that we are relying only on the paid professionals. In other words, we expect that the job of mission is somebody else's responsibility, and we want to pass the buck. We forget that the whole reason for being trained in discipleship is so that we can get out into the mission field. In fact, it has been said, and it's true, a church that is not a missionary church is no church at all. Or, to put it another way, a church that is not in mission is itself a mission field. Freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. When I was a pastor out in the Tacoma, Washington area, I suppose about 12 years ago now, I got a letter in the early morning mail, and I noticed that it said urgent on it, open immediately, help. I thought, what's going on? It must be important. So I opened it. I began to read it. It was from Paint Tacoma Beautiful, an organization of Christians that wanted to improve the lives of other people in the name of Jesus in the community of Tacoma. Well, I started reading the statistics. 3 years earlier, 115 homes needing restoration and fixing up and paint. 2 years earlier, 95 homes needing restoration and fix up and paint. And then suddenly, 1 year earlier, about 83 homes. I thought, wow, what's the problem? It means that there's less and less and less need. That's a good thing, right? There's less homes that need to be restored, less people with problems. And then I read that there were 240 applications for the current year and only 41 teams. And suddenly I realized, in light of our gospel for tonight, that the problem is that there was an abundance of need and there was a shortage of laborers. The fields were white for harvest, but the laborers were few. And what do? Jesus says, my stomach is in knots. People need help. The homeless need homes. The poor, the unemployed, they need jobs. The hungry need food. Jesus is concerned about the sheep that are harassed and helpless. He's concerned about complete healing. Not just our salvation and eternity, but salvation, eternity in the here and now. Jesus is concerned about making our bodies well and healthy. He's concerned about us physically and spiritually and relationally and emotionally, holistically. That's what it means to be saved, to be reconciled with God the Father in the name of the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be reconciled not only with God, but with each other. Not only in the future, but in the present as well. Righteousness and justice. The kingdom of God is at hand. As you go, Jesus says, as he takes his disciples and commissions and sends them out, as you go, he says, heal the sick. As you go, cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers and raise the dead to life. As you go, preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, as you go. I suppose you're seeing a pattern. 2 weeks ago, it was Pentecost Sunday, Acts chapter 2, the promise of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They were filled, all 120 disciples, with the Holy Spirit. And immediately they began to preach the good news, the mighty acts of God. And 3,000 people were added to the faith, saved that day. And then last week, well, it was Holy Trinity Sunday, and we had the conclusion of Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission. As you go, make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. And remember, Jesus says, I am with you always to the close of the age. The one who has all authority gives that authority to his disciples as he sends them out into the mission field of God. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, there are five sermons or teaching sections. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus blesses his disciples and he does this performative word. In other words, when Jesus speaks, things happen. He says, you know who you are, right? You're the blessed ones. You know who you are. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. We know those words because whenever there's a baptism, we light a candle and we say those words of Jesus. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10 that we have for tonight, you see what happens. It's the mission field. In fact, it's Jesus' sermon on mission because he wants to make sure that all people know the good news that is found only in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. God has a big mission field for us. God has a lot of work for us to do. And so he says, the fields are white for harvest. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers out into his field. And that's you. And that's me. That's those who are present in person here, but those also who listen online. God is counting on us to be his ambassadors, bringing reconciliation to a very hurt and broken world, and to do it in the name of his son, Jesus. This past week, I read a story about a girl. She's 9 years old. Her name is Cameron. She is African-American. She lives up in Minneapolis. And when all of this COVID-19 stuff started, she was worried about what it was doing to people. And so she started with a bunch of her neighborhood friends making friendship bracelets so that she could help people that might be falling between the cracks, businesses that were suffering, people that were losing their jobs. Well, lo and behold, she's already, with those friendship bracelets, raised $42,000. And since that time, of course, there's been other things like looting and rioting. And so now she's using some of that money to help some of the businesses that were affected. And because she's African American, she and her family have also built relationships in their community. And they're talking about how it is that all of us are precious in the eyes of Almighty God, and that God has reconciled us so that we can have peace with one another, so that all of life is recognized as sacred and that no one is diminished or cut off. Well, that's what little Cameron is doing, making a difference and doing it as an ambassador of Christ. Or, as I mentioned in our announcements, Larry Vomhoff and some of his volunteers, they're going to go way up into Michigan, and they're going to offer restoration and hope to people who got flooded out in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of all kinds of unrest in our country and throughout the world right now. It might just be a drop in the bucket, but if, like Mother Teresa said, if I didn't put my first drop in, and my second drop in, and my third drop in, then that bucket would never have gotten filled. Jesus is sending us out into the mission field. He preached his Sermon on the Mount, and then in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's Gospel, guess what Jesus did? The preacher put into practice his words. 10 different miracles happen in Matthew 8 and 9. The woman with the flow of blood, lepers are cleansed, a little child is raised to life, storms are stopped, the mute begin to speak, the blind are able to see. As you go, Jesus says, preach the gospel. As you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. They don't belong in the bodies that Christ has redeemed, that God our Father has created. As you go, pray earnestly and remember, when we pray, well, God is probably going to knock on your heart and he's going to say, I'm sending you. Just do it. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. In the words of Jesus, you received without price. Go. Give without price. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may remain seated if you'd like for our song of the day, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, pleasant pastures feed us, for our use your fold prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have bought us, we are yours. We are yours, in love befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep your flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear us children when we pray. You have promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. You have mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to you. Early let us seek your favor. Early let us do your will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with your love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus,
we continue with our confession. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone.
Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And as we share the peace of the Lord throughout the week ahead, think about a phone call or a letter or a card that you could send to extend the love of Christ to someone in your neighborhood, your workplace, or perhaps a stranger. Also want to remind you that there is no passing of offering baskets, and anyone desiring to support the work of Emmanuel, there's a basket as you leave tonight, and offering envelopes can be placed in there. We now close our service with our closing prayers.
Let us pray for the church, the world, and for one another. Heavenly Father, we are astonished by your kindness and grace. You call us your treasured people. You send your Son to forgive and redeem us, even while we are ungodly and estranged from you. Even more, Jesus calls us to share your gracious love with other ungodly sinners, whom you long to make beloved, treasured members of your family. Thank you. Help us to do, say, and be all you envision and will for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your dear Son called and sent the apostles to proclaim the good news, forgive sins, and heal those sorely wounded by the powers of sin, evil, and death. Strengthen and equip your church to follow in their footsteps and to lead the ungodly to the one who died, that they might live. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make this congregation lovely with holiness, faithfulness, generosity, and joy. Fill us with your Spirit so that we serve you with gladness and thanksgiving. Let our lives show the love of Jesus to those who need him the most. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Churches everywhere are beginning to gather, worship, and serve in Jesus' name once again. Help us to be prudent and diligent, but also careful and cautious as we live by faith alone in Christ alone. Make us so radiant with love for you and for your people that our actions encourage, comfort, and strengthen people most afflicted by illness, stress, fear, and hardship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be gracious and merciful to all who are afflicted in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for families stressed to the breaking point, business owners facing foreclosure or bankruptcy, farmers, fishers, ranchers, and truckers, caregivers to special needs persons, and especially those for whom we name before you now.
Gracious Father, we pray for those who are battling illness, for Barb and for Kelly, for Bernie, for Denny, for Melody and Luke and Amy, for Pastor Dan, for Brad Lund, for David Deacon Joyner, Jeff Bernards, for Pam, for Kathy and Voldemar, for the family and friends of Larry Betts. We pray also, Lord, for Bethel Lutheran Church and the loss of their building after 100 years of ministry. Grant them grace, O Lord, to understand that it's just a building and that your people are the proclaimers of your good news. We pray for Larry and C-Mac and the mission work that they do in Gladwin, Michigan. And we pray, Lord, for the end of COVID-19. We pray for peace and justice and for mercy in our land.
We pray also for Chelsea as she deals with health issues at the University of Minnesota Hospital. And we pray for blessings and healings for our pastor, Dave Stephenson. Bring to all the joy of your saving help. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Most Holy Father, thank you for the lives of your faithful people who have gone before us, especially those dearest to us. Keep their memories bright. Keep us steadfast in the faith they passed on to us. Keep the cross of Jesus ever before us, and keep us true to our calling as his disciples. By his merits, bring us into your blessed kingdom, where with all whom you have redeemed, we will praise, adore, and glorify you in the power of the Holy Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together four verses of our ascending song, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.